Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening from the Command Center, Geekcast Radio Network.
Well, you know everything's gonna be a breeze. At the end, we'll no doubt justify the means. We can fix any problem with the slightest of ease. Yes.
5 powers combined, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet.
But you might find out it'll go to your head when you write a report on a book you never read. With the snap of your fingers, you can make it bad. And that's what I said. Everything is not what it seems when you can get all you wanted in your
This is From the Command Center, Episode 17. Collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. I'm your host, TFG1 Mike, and this is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 17. Joining me as always is Scotty Cash. Hello.
How are you?
Tired. It's been a rough couple months. We just finished up a couple weeks ago on GeekcastRadio.com. We finished up Batman Week, and that was a lot of different coverage that we did for Batman.
Was Batman in some kind of like Halloween movie or something?
Batman versus Dracula, maybe?
No, it was like, I don't remember what it was. I can't remember.
I don't know. So I got that going on, and this episode of the Command Center is very, very late, but it cannot be helped because life comes up and just stuff happens. But we did get it out in September. It will release in September, as I said. So that's that. What else you been up to?
Just moving, which is possibly the worst thing ever. Unpacking is fun. Unpacking is fun, but moving is just I'd rather do almost anything than move. And yeah. when I move, I don't ever ask anybody to help me because I don't want them to ever be able to ask me because they helped me. So I do it all by myself. You love moving, don't you? You moved like six times last year from apartment to apartment.
Well, over the last 2 or 3 years, yeah. No, moving sucks. And the reason why moving sucks for me, and I know this is off topic, but as I've said in previous episodes, Scotty and I use this intro to catch up with each other. But the reason why moving sucks for me is after my grandparents' estate was settled, my mom bought me a 6-foot by 9-foot cherry oak desk. It's essentially it's one of those large office desk type things. It's in two pieces, and it's very fragile from being moved so much. So it's like, yeah, moving for me just absolutely sucks. Yeah, so I can feel you on that one. Yeah, it sucks.
I didn't realize how many toys. Well, I know I have a crap ton. I didn't realize how many I had until I had to move them all 1,000 times, it felt like.
So we got a little bit of feedback from the episode 16 post from Chaotix, as he often does comment on the GeekCastRadio.com post. Says, great episode, guys. It's nice to see you give some major praise to SPD. That season needs more love. I've never not said I disliked SPD. I always liked that series. He says, Scotty, the video you saw on YouTube was probably a fan-made, seeing as how Saban hasn't released any official Megaforce videos or trailers quite yet. Well, the video I saw for Megaforce was a Comic-Con panel.
Right, and the one I was talking about wasn't fan-made, but it was like Saban-made or Bandai-made or whatever, but it was like, it was a very, like, what do you call it? It was like a prototype of a prototype, because the people that I seen weren't the characters that are the Megaforce Rangers.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I am not, like, someone pointed out to me on Twitter of the Comic-Con panel and trailer. The problem with the Comic-Con panel and trailer that I saw was that I know people at conventions do their best to take really, you know, good or decent quality video, but the problem with the Comic-Con trailer that was shown off on YouTube is that, you know, people were walking by in front of the camera, people were talking over it, people were, oh my God, you know, all this stuff of, you know, audience laughter and applause. And I'm just as far as Megaforce goes, I'm waiting for Saban to actually release an actual trailer by, you know, just like a movie trailer type of deal before I make any other, any other opinions on it. And he goes on to say, I think a veteran ranger appearing in every 4 or 5 episodes of Megaforce is reasonable, seeing as how that's pretty much how Gokaiger handled the cameos. He didn't think that they were going to keep the angel thing. They adapted Gosager for that very reason. When I was mentioning about the whole, you know, religion versus...
Yeah, I'm almost positive that they've already got rid of that.
Yeah. He's got a couple of fun facts here for us. The reason that Sam was a ball of light instead of a human actor was because the production team thought it would be a good way to cut costs by hiring a voice artist instead of an actual physical actor. Bruce Kalish later admitted that this was probably a mistake. Well, duh.
I wonder, like, I would like to know what the production cost was and how much they actually saved, because, I mean, if they really wanted to, they could have went out and said, I mean, unless they got an actor, unless they have to get like a union actor, which they might have to, so that he probably makes X amount of dollars. But if they go somewhere else to film, they don't have to use a union actor, and they could have got Joe Schmo to play the ball of light for $3,000. Because I'm sure everybody would be like, yeah, I'll do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. He says, the correction. Yeah. A small correction. The second Dino Thunder team-up is actually called Wormhole and not Impact. Impact is a different episode that takes place chronologically after History and a few episodes before Wormhole. Yeah, I totally screwed that up. By the time we got to SPD and I watched all of it, the whole series of Power Rangers at this point for me is just kind of running together, and I will freely admit that I will get stuff wrong. I will, because it just... Because at this point, after SPD and now going into Mystic Force, and...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Beyond is my territory, just like your territory with anything past MMPR. You didn't know anything about it. You didn't know about you know what I mean. You didn't know about that, you know, in space and all that. So with Mystic Force and all the other series after it, that's the same. I'm coming into it fresh. One thing you got to learn about the red SPD morpher that it gets passed around more than I don't even know where I was going with that joke.
Somebody's mom. Do it quick.
Yeah. Stacy's mom.
I like the song. I get it. I like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I get it. I was going for like one of our friends' moms, because.
No.
I'll go with that.
He says, "I like the team ups too. I just thought they could have handled it a bit better, especially the whole memory erase thing." Yeah, they could have. So that's all I got for you this month. Keep doing what you do well. Also, get well soon, Scotty. This is back when you were deathly ill, which obviously you've recovered from. I hope everyone. Huh?
I was deathly ill.
When we recorded SPD, you were had your sniffles and your sinus and all that stuff acting up.
Oh yeah.
I hope everyone likes the intro to this episode, because man, did I throw in a lot of jokes with that. I'll let you listen to it afterwards, but I hope everyone enjoyed it. And we're actually gonna do something that the iTunes reviewers have stated that they think that we should be doing. We're only going to do it for this episode because of the way that he ended the clip. We are going to first go to Spada's Sentai clip. So we'll be back after this.
Hey folks, Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and there are very few Power Rangers series that can be considered abysmal, but Mystic Force seems to go that extra distance into the poop category. And that's a real shame, since Maho Sentai Magi Ranger is one of the best Super Sentai series of the last 10 years. Airing from February of 2006 to February of 2007, Magi Ranger follows the lives of the 5 Ozu siblings. The series starts off with the 5 and their mother. During an attack from a monster, the kids witnessed their mother transform into a magic warrior and defeat the creature. Since then, they have been in training to be magicians. The reason the kids could become magicians is because their parents were from Magitopia, which was built by the 5 great mages a long time ago. Sadly, though, Magitopia has been at war with the Infertia for years, and of course this war has been taking place without the knowledge of humanity, as Super Sentai is wont to do. 10 years ago, though, Infertia was sealed away far beneath the earth. But wouldn't you know it? The Dark Knight Wolzord was able to breach the seal and enable the Infertia to rise within the Earth and enact revenge on both Magitopia and humanity for their imprisonment. During this initial uprisings in Episode 1 and 2, the kid's mom was killed. Yep, totally dead. Nah, she won't be back towards the end of the series. Nope. Anyway, so, the Underground Hades Empire, Infertia, are from the Kaidomono realm. It's in the center of the earth, and quite frankly, it's never really explained what the hell it is. It was formed by the ruler Enma. That's capital N space capital M A. And he formed it 15 years before they were sealed off. This whole group of villains were stopped by the Magi Ranger's father, Blagle. When I originally saw the show, I thought his name was Bagel, as in Bagel and Lox. No, that was a translation error. It's actually supposed to be pronounced Blagel, like Blade and Gel. B-L-A-G-E-L. Very weird name. And what's even weirder is the villain known as Enma had an obsession with destroying Magitopia and consuming everything. Not just magic, but everything. In fact, he appears at the end of the series and looks pretty much like Cthulhu, except colored in red and black. Let me say that again. The final villain of Magiranger is a red and black Cthulhu. Moving on. Throughout the course of the series, several sets of Infergia bad guys take the helm. The first was Brocken, who lasted until episode 18. Then, sorcerer priest Mimi took over. He was an effeminate mummy that relied on cunning rather than strength. After Mimi's defeat in episode 34, the 10 members of the Infertia Pantheon took over. These giants were all based on creatures of myth. Ifrit, Cyclops, Gorgon, Drake, Werven, Titan, Sphinx, Slefnir, their leader Dagon, and Toad. Okay, maybe not that last one, but his real name is Toad. As the series ended, the viewer discovered that these villains weren't really all that villainous at all, except for Dagon and maybe a few others. They all had deep character arcs and with unique hopes and dreams and desires, and they were legitimate characters. They were developed in the end of the series. I couldn't believe it when I first saw it, because normally you don't get that much development for villains, but these guys were really, really well developed. The last two members of the Infertia that need to be discussed are Wolzard and Vancuria. Wolzard was a black mage knight who, most of the time, easily overpowered the rangers. He also had his own Zord, the dark magic horse Varikion. V-A-R-I-K-I-O-N. I'm not sure of the pronunciation of that. He then could merge with the horse into a centaur mode and then a giant Zord mode. Vancuria was the Infertia's spy and the queen of the vampires. She is immortal, but got so lonely that she developed the ability to split herself into sisters, Nai and Ma, in other words known as the Nightmare Sisters, just so she wouldn't be lonely. She turned out to be the fan favorite character of the show. Family, teamwork, and togetherness were themes that were featured throughout Magiranger. From the ranger themselves to the members of the Magitopia and to even the villains, it is interesting to note that the villains who didn't work together failed the quickest, while those who did work together pretty much gave the rangers a whole lot of trouble. And that's where we're going to end it, because I don't want to spoil any more about the show. I loved Magiranger. Yes, there are episodes that can be skipped, and yes, there are some bad points to the show, but I want you, the audience, to experience the whole Magiranger. This was my first Super Sentai, and today it remains one of my favorites. It has some of my favorite villains, it has one of my all-time favorite Zords, Megazords, and a legitimate happy ending for almost everyone involved, villains and heroes alike. You can find torrents of this show up at tvnihon.com. That's tv-nihon.com. And some sub-episodes are on YouTube right now. I strongly recommend checking this one out, especially considering the mountain of crap that is Mystic Force. You are going to need something to wash out that bad taste.
Well, thank you there, Spada. I think Scotty and I are going to disagree with you on that last statement of Mystic Force was just absolutely awful.
Yeah, I mean, well, Spada is, I don't know, I would like to know why everybody thinks it's awful, because everybody said that it's the worst, probably. I mean, it's definitely not worse than Turbo. There's no way.
No.
I mean, going into it, I was thinking, oh, God, another Turbo. And then, you know, 8, 9 episodes in, I'm thinking, oh, God, another Turbo. And then it kind of you know, flipped on me, and it started to grow on me, and I'll tell you some reasons here in a little bit, but.
Well, let's set the stage for everybody that has been living under a rock and doesn't know anything about Mystic Force. Mystic Force is is the American television series part of the Power Rangers franchise. As with all Power Rangers series, the show is adapted from series in the long-running Japanese Super Sentai series. Mystic Force is adapted from the 29th series in the franchise, Maju Sentai Maji Ranger. The series officially premiered on February 20th, 2006 on Toon Disney / Jetix. February 25th, 2006 on ABC Family, March 11th, 06 on ABC, as part of the ABC Kids programming block on June 4th, 2006, Family and Canada. It's basically, it's the first Disney, no, it is not, oh, okay, the first Disney, okay. It's the first Disney-produced Power Rangers series to feature the main villain as its Super Sentai counterpart. And it is the first of the Disney-produced Power Rangers series in which all the actors playing the five core Rangers are of Australian or New Zealander descent. The casts of the three Disney-produced Power Rangers series prior to Mystic Force had at least one Ranger actor of North American descent.
It is also racism. Yeah. I hate it. I'm mad.
It is also the only, thank God, Power Rangers series in which the Rangers wear capes. Oh, boy. Alright, before I even saw anything to do with Mystic Force, when I just saw ads back when it first aired, I didn't even really watch any episodes when it was on TV. When I first saw ads for it, I was like, magic and Power Rangers? No, that doesn't, no. And then I saw the capes and I'm like, capes, really? So you're, oh God. Going back to it, I still think that the whole premise of... Now, we've had magic and Power Rangers before. You know, there's been mystical powers and everything else like that. But there has never been, to this point, a full-on magic-based Power Ranger series. I don't care for that concept for Power Rangers. You know, sure, make it mystical animals, make it, you know, whatever else. But just... And I think part of my issue why I don't like it is because I keep seeing Selena Gomez as one of the Rangers because it does kind of look like it. Yeah. Because as soon as in the first episode or in the second episode when they're like, oh, wands. Yeah, these suck. Can't we have anything, you know, technologically available to us, you know? So yeah, that was my initial reaction to Mystic Force as far as the overall premise and the overall design of this series is that it's based off of magic, and I don't like that. That's my one thing. As far as for me the plot and the overall story that Mystic Force tells, I like the story that it tells. What about you?
I do. At first, I didn't really even care to get into it because it was awful. And there was a lot of characters, and they did a lot of character development that worked out good. Because it seems like there's just so many characters in Mystic Force that it was like, this is ridiculous. There's like 9,000 villains. There was like, you know, 100, you know, Rangers. And I didn't know what they're going to do with it, but it ended up being good.
Yeah, it did.
The reason that I like Mystic Force probably the best, and this is going to be kind of sounding stupid or weird, but it's because they're not all gorgeous. Like, if you look at the Samurai Rangers, even the guys are like, they could be like, you know, Amer Khan, Fitch. Yeah, exactly. And then with, you know, they're not ugly by any means, you know, even the girls are cute, but there's something about them that's not, you know, they didn't go out to America's Next Top Model and get five people and put them in Power Ranger suits. You know what I mean? And I think that also grew on me. And then Toby's probably the ugliest man in the world, and he's on there, so.
that's funny. All right, so getting into the Rangers and the characters and all that stuff, you've got Nick Russell, who is the Red Ranger. You've got Xander Bly, the Green Ranger. Charlie is the Yellow Ranger. Maddie is the Blue Ranger, and V is the Pink Ranger.
Did they ever give their last names? I see last names, but I don't ever remember.
Yes, they did. I didn't say what the last names were.
Right.
But the thing was, it's like. I think the other reason why I didn't like this series originally was because of Xander. I hate his character.
I loved his character.
All right, dude, seriously, you mean to tell me 10 episodes in, this character is going to still go up to a monster and say, "Hi, my name's Xander. Let's shake on it and everything be all right." He hasn't learned his lesson in 10 episodes. I mean, come on.
It was not 10. It was like 3 or 4. And it was funny because they were kind of like, towards the end, they were like, "Listen, that doesn't work." And he's like, "No, come on, like one more try." And then eventually, like, he got like blown up or whatever. So it was like, that was kind of part of his character development too, I would say, because, you know, it's not all about his looks.
It's about his looks. It's about his attitude. It's about his way he, just his whole character. I just did not like it because it's that whole superficial, "I'm the boss, you're my underlings" type of deal. And it's like, I just didn't care for that part of it.
Listen, I'll PayPal you $10 American if you can do the rest of the podcast in Xander's
in the Australian accent.
Yeah, I've got the whole thing.
I don't think I can keep it up that long. It'll probably come out a little bit, but it's seriously, it's just like, oh god, his character is just not my thing. And I guess Charlie is supposed to be the tech kid. He's supposed to be like a Billy, I guess. I liked him. I thought he was all right. I like how they're doing the different team ups where you had Charlie and V. Like in the first episode, be like, "Oh, we're gonna team up to get more codes and blah blah blah." And so I like that aspect of it. Did you have any opinion on Charlie?
I liked Charlie a lot, and I agree with you on the Billy thing. I think maybe they try to go towards that route a little bit, and then kind of realize that this probably wasn't the smartest thing. He kind of went his own direction. He was still the smart one in the group, and so was the. So was Maddie also, because she was kind of helping out on some of the stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you know, no disrespect to David Yost or Thoy Trang, but Charlie and Maddie remind me of Billy and Trini back in the old days. They really do.
And that's probably what they were going for.
Probably. And then you got Maddie's sister V, who openly admits she hates the color pink, and yet she is the Pink Ranger.
I like that. That was funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And then you got the reluctant leader in Nick. And I did like this. I liked how he was like, "No, you don't need me, blah, blah, blah. I just, you know." And then as the story progresses, you have him finding out all this other stuff that with his real parents and everything else, and I really did like that.
Yeah, it's almost like the Mystic Force Rangers throughout the entire thing kind of ended up taking a back seat to Nick being the light and the chosen one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we can do this, but we can't do it without you, you know, pretty much.
Yeah. And then you have Dadgeron, who is the Solaris Knight. I liked it. I thought it was a little bit weird, though. I don't know. I mean, this feels like, what is it, series? Not Lost Galaxy. This feels like Wild Force, but with magic. It honestly does, because you have the same type of storyline of, oh, the Rangers of today versus the old battle of however many thousands of years ago. So, I don't know. What did you think of the Solaris Knight?
I like him. I liked his. I liked. What's his name? Digi?
Yeah.
I liked him the best.
Yeah. And then you've got Udana, who is the White Mystic Ranger. She was the powerful sorceress before losing her ranger powers. I didn't like Udana at first. I thought she was kind of weird.
You know what doesn't go good together is Udana's and Nick's father, which escapes my
Lambeau,
being together and making Nick. I just, at the end, like the last episode where they all three hug, I'm just like, no. They just looked weird together. Yeah. Those two for sure did not have him.
Yeah. And plus, Lambeau is so old at that point. It's like, you know, he's all gray and scraggly and everything else. And then for allies, you got Claire, who is the apprentice sorceress who is learning under her aunt, or Donna.
And I love Claire.
I like Claire once she got past the awkwardness.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome. Then you have Nyella, who is the former gatekeeper, and Gingy, who is the mystical cat-like creature. I like Gingy. It's all right. It's more so a gimmick.
Right.
It's more so a gimmick for Dajaran. And then you have the dragon Fireheart. I thought the whole dragon thing was really cool. I really did like that.
I liked it also. I didn't like it when they combined it because it was just a ridiculous giant suit.
Yeah, that is true. And then you've got Phineas, who is the Troblin, half troll, half goblin.
That sounds exactly like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and the rest of the characters, they're all pretty much likable as far as the allies go. We've pretty much mentioned all of the ones that really matter. As far as the villains go, you've got Octumus, who is the supreme master of the underworld, who appears as a human skull supported by tentacles. His true form is shown after his possession of Mantobo's body, finally destroyed by all eight of the Power Rangers, who were then empowered by the people's faith. He was voiced by John Lee. I liked it. I thought it was a little strange at first. What I thought was really strange about this series is that they start you off with a guy who you think is the lead villain, and then he's serving another master. I thought mm-hmm. that whole angle was a little strange.
I agree.
Yeah. You got Mordecai, who is the undead general, who has led the Master's armies, destroyed by the Titan Megazord. I liked Mordecai. I thought he was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have any issues with any of the villains. Even what was, I just watched it, the vampire.
Necroli.
I at first I hated her, and then I came around to kind of liking her also. So.
Yeah. Yep. I really liked, I liked Lianbo's alternate form, his evil form, Korag, because that's how the series starts. It starts with Korag, the Night Wolf, and then we find out that he's serving another master. I liked Korag. I thought that was a really, really cool outfit. I thought he had some really cool powers and some cool weapons.
It was an awesome storyline, too, with him being, him not wanting to destroy the Rangers and come to find out he was who he was, and you know what I mean? That was I liked that a lot.
Yep. Let's see. Who else? Some of the. Let's see. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say on Spada's clip, he was talking about some of the villains too, and it seemed a little. It obviously seemed different, but I really liked the Magi Ranger, the way Spada was talking about the villains and how they done it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go. I need to. Spada sent me a bunch of different series that I need to go watch, and I might just start with Magi Ranger since that was his first and he loves it. So
yeah,
because it sounded awesome. I loved his clip.
Yeah, and then you have the 10 Terrors, who are 10 different monsters that
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Apparently they are the most powerful servants of the master. You've got Magma, Octolus, Serpentina, Megahorn, Hecatoid, and Gekker, and Matumbo. I liked them. It's a different way of doing villainy than just doing it in the just completely humorous way. But after a while, it kind of breaks down to the point, well, why do we need to take turns? Blah, blah, blah. I want to do this. You can go do this. And I thought the whole plot line just kind of broke down after that when they started just doing all their own thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Rangers were always about, like, teamwork. And I don't know why the villains weren't ever like, you know what we should do is send two of us. Get out of here. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. But I also liked in Spada's clip how he was talking about them. I would assume that's the same characters, but in Maji Ranger or whatever, that they were like the Cyclops and all like mythological characters or whatever. Or some of the other ones, I can't remember. Sphinx?
It was a Sphinx. It was... let's see what else. Six chair chosen to attack. Yeah, Matumbo is a gladiator. So there's like different, you know, different theological versions of them. As far as the weapons, not too like the Xenotome is the ancient mystical book and Ranger's main source of magical information. So it's a mystical dictionary. Yay.
I didn't like that. It's like you have to go look in the book or, you know, to tell you what's next. I just didn't really like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about that book. And if the book was really as powerful as it says, why weren't they trying to steal it more often? You know what I mean? Why wasn't that more of a vocal point other than an episode or two where they're like, hey, we need that book.
Yeah. Yep. And then you have the Snow Staff, which is Udonna's own variant, Magi Staff. I like the Snow Staff. I do like how each of the powers are based off of an element. Like, you know, red is fire, blue is water. Yeah, I really like that. I thought that was interesting. What did you think of the Mystic Morphers?
I don't see the reason for them to be cell phones. I wish they weren't cell phones, but other than that, that's, you know, they weren't that bad.
Do you wish they were just wands?
Maybe not wands, but like something. I guess you're right. Can it be like a bracelet or something, or a sandal or something? Why don't I'm just sick of cell phones already. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they did bracelets back in Dino Thunder. They need to bring that back.
Hell yeah, they did.
Yeah. Then you get the Magi Staffs, which is a compact staff carried by each of the five Rangers with multiple functions. You have the Axe Mode, Crossbow Mode, Sword Striker Mode, and Wand Mode. I like the staffs, but again, I think the whole thing with the magic element is just staffs and wands and, for crying out loud, brooms. Oh, come on. Ugh.
Yeah, that was extremely lame. The flying on the brooms and them riding the bike part. It's like, I'll do this and you do that.
Yeah. And then they even have a magic carpet. Oh, my God.
Like Aladdin.
Yeah. As far as the weapons and as far as the actual outfits, I don't care for the regular Mystic outfits with the capes. I like when they go to Legend mode. I like the Legend mode outfits. They're so much better.
Yeah.
They're so
if they didn't have the capes, I probably wouldn't mind their suits. It seemed, I don't know, maybe it was just my imagination, but it seemed like the helmets were a little bit too big for the suits or something. I don't know. It was almost like bobblehead Rangers. I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but it just seemed like, I don't know, the helmets were just a little tad too big, and it just could be my craziness.
What'd you think about the Zords in this series?
Absolutely loved them, 100%. The Titan Megazord, where they can split up into, was I absolutely love that thing. I eventually will have to get that because it is amazing.
For the Mystic Titans, you have the Phoenix, the Garota, the Mermaid, the Sprite, and the Minotaur.
Which were all different sizes too, which is what I really, really liked.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, really? I don't mind the Megazord form with the Titans, but I don't mind the Titan Megazord, but the Titan Zords on their own as like bodies, pretty much like, you know, mini body suits for the Rangers. I didn't really care for the individual modes of them,
They were still Megazord. They were still big. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were running around at normal size.
Yeah, that's true, but it's still, it just, I don't know, I just felt that it was just a really, really weird way to do an alternate Zord mode before it combines.
Right.
Oh.
We didn't mention the Solaris Knight's Morpher.
Yeah, did you like that one?
No, it was a hole puncher. Did you notice that they only done it like one time and probably everybody was like, okay, dude, no. Because like after that, I'm almost positive they did it maybe two times. Well, the first time I seen it, I was like, okay, here we go. And then he was like, look, I'm going to go ahead and punch this hole and now I'm a Power Ranger. And I was like, oh, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. You know what I'm talking about where the car was like flipping around?
Yeah.
And it came in and he like hole punched it.
Yeah. What did you think of the Mystic Dragon formation?
Loved it.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And then, of course, you know, the Titan Megazord is the final combination of the Mystic Titans. Use spell code 126. I like the Titan Megazord. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know. For me lately in some of the series, it's more so been like I like the ultimate combo as far as like getting all of the Zords together. I don't know, just some of the regular Megazords haven't really caught me for most part. And you have Kalastros, who is the Black Horse Zord controlled by Korag.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome because Korag, you know, the Night Wolf and being a knight, and of course his Zord would be a horse. Yeah, that was pretty damn cool. The Centaur formation is when Korag combines with Kalastros to form the Centaur. I like the combine mode. I thought it was cool. What about you?
I definitely agree. The only thing I didn't like is after Nick tamed it, how it went back to being... Because it wasn't supposed to be good or evil. But yeah. It was like, you know, the other dude didn't have to tame it at all. He was just like, look, you're with me. And then Nick had to, like, fight it off.
Yeah, that was a little strange. When the Titan-sized Korag chants his one spell, combines with the Kalastros to form the Dark Centaurus Wolf Megazord. Its main attacks are the Dark Magic Spell Seal and the Dark Magic Strike. I think... I like it. The Dark Magic Strike reminds me of again of Wild Force with oh god, what was the wolf's name?
The wolf's name on Wild Force?
Yeah.
God.
You know who I'm talking about though, right?
Yes, I can't think of his name either.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. People will write in. Again, people, it all kind of blends together. We know who it is. We just can't think off the top of our heads. Then you have the Centaurus Phoenix Megazord, which is basically Centaurus Phoenix. It's a rare combination of the Mystic Phoenix and the Kalastros. I like that. I thought it was a unique way of getting all, you know, getting the two different Zord team-ups to be together. I thought that was pretty cool.
Merrick.
Yeah, Merrick. I was trying to think of his alternate form, his alternate.
Oh,
name.
When he was. Oh my God. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just mad right now.
And then you got the Solar Streak, which is the blue and gold six-car train Zord piloted by Dazeron. the Solaris Knight. While the Solar Streak is like the rail rescues from Lightspeed Rescue, it has the ability to travel to other dimensions. It is summoned through a card punching of the Solar Cell Morpher. What is the deal with card punching and hole punching in this series?
Who knows? It was awful. That's why.
Yeah. Legendary Mystic Titans, you have the Mystic Firebird and Mystic Lion. I really like the legendary stuff. I thought that was really cool.
I also agree. I agree with you again.
I really did
enjoy the Zords in this series. They didn't overdo it. There wasn't a thousand different ones for a thousand different, they kind of stuck with like the main couple and they kept going back to those. And I liked that a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. The final big combiner is the Phoenix Unizord. The Phoenix Unizord is the combination of the Mystic Phoenix and Brightstar. It is essentially a white version of the Centaurus Phoenix Megazord. Brightstar's head forms the lance, and its tail combines with the Mystic Phoenix to become the Megazord's head. Brightstar's body forms the majority of the Megazord's mode. I liked the Phoenix Unizord. I thought it was really, really unique and very interesting. And as you said, I can't really complain about the Zords in the series because they were all really, really done well.
Yes. Yep. I'm just looking up the different Zords now. Because, I watched this a while ago. Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely a big fan.
Yeah.
I watched this a while ago until today. I watched the last two episodes today. I'm going to start doing that, I think, is waiting until the day we're going to record or whatever and then watch the last two or the last, like, finale or whatever.
Yeah. So getting just a quick production note on the American version. JetX and kids programming in general was dropped on ABC Family in September of 2006. Only part of the season reran on that channel. Talking about the overall plot of the series, you've got five individual Rangers that are all trying to find their way in life and all trying to find their way of how they're going to come together as a team. I like that. I think it was too early for Nick to show the blanket and say no more secrets after this, and then nothing comes up from that until like four, five, six episodes later.
Well, they realize who Nick is because of the blanket. I think that's pretty much the only purpose that blanket.
Yeah.
That's the only reason for the blanket to even exist.
Yeah, that's true.
I like how they found out that I didn't see that coming. I'll be completely honest. I did not see that coming. I was like, oh, okay. And that's when I think about the time where I was like, you know what? This is actually getting kind of good. This ain't too bad.
Now, we've talked about this in the podcast before, and I've talked about it with other people as well. There are certain times where certain series where Rangers are supposed to keep their identity secret, and then others when people know them. So when I was in the middle of watching the series on Netflix, I wrote this note down. If the Rangers are supposed to keep their identity secret, then why the heck are they always using their phone wands in clear view of everyone?
Right.
Xander, and I'm not just singling him out because I don't like him, but you could pick any of them. Xander, Nick, V, Maddie, any of them. When they're in the store, you see them using their wands all the time. And it's like, really? If you're supposed to be a secret, super secret Power Ranger person, you shouldn't be using your wand.
Right. Well, I don't think it mattered because at the end,
yeah,
everybody was like, and everybody was apparently perfectly fine with it. They're like, look. Apparently, Toby has went off and told everyone in the town that you guys were Power Rangers, and now they all know that you fought for them. Now we're going to surround you and say we believe in magic.
Yeah.
Which was stupid.
Yes. Did you have any favorite episodes from Magic Force, from Mystic Force?
Let me go through. I did have some favorites. I don't remember what they were.
While you're grabbing that, I'll just go ahead and say mine. I pretty much like all of the series. There are a couple episodes I skipped because they were just they felt to me like they were just one-liners and just like write-offs. I did like the opening two-parter. I thought that was a really good way of introducing the series. I did like Legendary Castro, so I thought that was a good episode. What else did I like down here?
I unliked the Gatekeeper 1 and 2.
You unliked it?
Yeah, I didn't like it because I loved Claire. And yeah. I was like, finally she's going to get some recognition. She's going to get something that she deserves. And it was kind of, I don't know, it just felt like she got ripped off when it was all said and done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that. I really liked... I like the Dark Wish multi-parter. I thought that was really, really good. I thought that was done very well, the Dark Wish three-parter.
Yes, yeah.
Which led into Korrig's trial and the Heir Apparent two-parter.
Yeah, they didn't. There was a lot of two-parters, three-parters in this series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is perfectly fine with me because I'm all for it. You know what I mean? We can do... Every other episode be a three-parter for all I care, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That way you get rid of all the poop standalone episodes, because usually those are a waste of time.
Yeah. I would say for me, the first... I would honestly say that I like the first five... Well, the first six episodes, and then it kind of... I like a lot of the ones from six on, but... Really where it starts getting really good for me is Dark Wish. So episode 18 to episode 32 is what I really like about the series. And that ending, boy, oh boy, that ending. That was an awesome way to end the series.
I do agree. When they started surrounding them and when we believe, I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I was like, it reminded me of like a lame Peter Pan where they're like, look, if you don't believe... And then, you know, like the magic kind of started flowing, and then they kind of broke way to the Rangers sitting there, you know, with their music playing. I was kind of like, oh, okay. I like this. And then I do like how they destroyed the master as the master was grown, and they were, you know, they didn't use their Megazords. They used just themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to kind of show how strong the power of good or the power of light actually is. So.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have, you know, as far as the ending, let's see. The Rangers stand together and take on the Master with all the fury and power, destroying him with their overwhelming magic. The story wraps up with everyone working together once again, the worlds united, having a party in Toby's store. Madison tells Nick to come back for her and give her, and he gives her his red blanket. Meanwhile, Nick, Udonna, and Liam Bo ride off into the sunset with Fireheart rushing behind. Claire, now a sorceress and resident of the Root Core, turns away from the Xenotome, smiles, and vanishes, leaving behind the end.
Well, there was a few things about... Like, them pulling off on the motorcycles was the worst thing about the entire series. I just thought that was so stupid. You know, it's like I'm going to talk to my adopted parents. There's some stuff I need to tell them. So I'm going to take my real mom and dad that have never, ever been on motorcycles, and we're going to go for a long bike ride. And then Fireheart. I didn't think Fireheart was following them. I think he was flying back into the forest. Because they were leaving, and he was flying into... Where the tree was, where he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also liked how Necrolize brought the two back to life,
yeah.
Which then destroyed her powers or whatever. And truth behold, she was the hottest cougar of all time. Even Xander goes, wow, so and so's mom's hot.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing with what's her name, I forget what the daughter's name is off the top of my head. At first I thought
I really did. I liked her character. I really did.
Well, I liked it too because it was something. Okay, at first I thought her secret was that she was going to be a sixth or a seventh ranger. And then I realized, oh, no, wait, she's the daughter of one of the villains. And that was something that sons and daughters of villains have been done before in Power Rangers. But I think that Mystic Force did it really well where they took an incidental character, almost like a Cassidy Cornell from Dino Thunder. That's what the daughter's character in this felt like to me at first. And then they actually, flipped the script and just, made it to where, oh, she's the daughter of one of the villains. I'm like, oh, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah. And then she didn't really want to be part of them anymore because she felt out of place. And she's like, that's mean. And then she was like, if you're going to be the daughter of a vampire, who cares if you're mean? She's like, well, I don't like that. I'm leaving. And then dipped out on him.
Yep. I would have to say that the one thing I can't stand about the series is the theme song. Oh, my God.
I won't say I liked it, but it kind of grew on me. The first couple times I heard the theme song, I thought for sure that it was the worst theme song. It is still the worst theme song out of all of them. Because even Awful Ass Turbo, its theme song's good. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I've already since we're recording this and releasing it so late, I've already started on Overdrive. And I will admit that Overdrive's theme song is horrible, except for the chorus when they're just saying Operation Overdrive. But I almost like Overdrive's theme more than I do Mystic Force.
I haven't started it yet. I have no idea what you're talking about yet.
Yeah, you will.
I'll start it tomorrow morning. I usually do.
Yeah, you will. All right. And you haven't had a chance to get any of the Mystic Force toys yet, right?
No, I put on a message on Ranger Board probably the day I seen the Titan Megazord. So, last month. And then lo and behold, about a week ago, I finally got a message that said, hey, you still want the Titan Megazord? I got the DX version. And I send him another message like, yeah, what do you want for it? And I'm waiting for him to respond. So
oh, cool.
I definitely would love to have that thing. I really, really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any of the toys either. I've seen them. They look pretty good. I honestly prefer just seeing the Zords in the show versus toys. I mean, yeah, I liked all the old MMPR Zords and stuff, but that was because I was still a kid back then.
Right.
All right. I think we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back with some final thoughts and some feedback. We'll be back after this.
You are listening to From the Command Center, The Intermission. I just wanted to let T-Geisen know that I will not be playing your voicemail, sir, because you called so many times, and I wasn't sure which file to use. T-Geisen, I'm so sorry for not playing your voicemail, but I just couldn't edit around it at all. So, now, on with the podcast ads here in the From the Command Center podcast intermission. Dun, dun, dun.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth and Beyond the Night only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody! Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. joined Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tala for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
good. Yeah, that's all right.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
For you, the listeners of From the Command Center, Audible is offering a free audiobook download. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio to go over there and check out their service. And we, of course, have the monthly thoughts from Chaotix on this series. Mystic Force gets a lot of flack, but I really enjoyed it. The magic theme and the amazing sets and props really emit a sense of mystery that draws you in, and the characters are quite memorable. We also have a number of iTunes reviews that if you go over to our page in iTunes, you can see them there. We're catching up on these, so they start back in, well, they start about earlier this month. We've got one that was left on September 12th by Crollo0427, says, very entertaining for anyone who grew up on Power Rangers, 5-star review. Probably the best thing about this podcast, aside from nostalgia, is the way the two hosts interact with each other. They both respect each other and don't try to put each other down. This, in my experience, is quite different from other Ranger fandom podcasts, where hosts trip over each other to make the first insult. I personally like TFG and Mike and Scotty Cash's way of talking to each other and getting to the point. I also love the Sentai segments and was a bit disappointed at the episode 16 lacked one. Really quickly, the reason why episode 16 lacked one is because Spada was not feeling well. And as I said in the intro to that episode, we just couldn't. If you guys wanted that episode in the month that it was supposed to be in, I just couldn't. Not that I don't want to wish Spada being well, which I do, because he is a friend of mine. But at the time, I just couldn't. I had to release the episode. I couldn't wait as long as it would take Spada to do the Sentai for episode 16. But what can you do? I'm really looking forward to the last couple of episodes, and we'll definitely re-listen to this podcast in the future, even after new episodes become a once-a-year thing. Keep up the good work, guys, and thanks for making this podcast. P.S. I doubt there will be a change to your mind about watching the Sentai version, TFG and Mike, but you're really worried about keeping up with the subs. While watching the show, you might want to know that all the talking in Sentai is mostly always done while the characters are standing still, and the actions scenes are pretty much devoid of anything other than one-liners, which after the 10th time of hearing them, you won't even need to read the subs to know what they're saying. It's really easy to keep up with what's going on, if you're even slow reader like myself, but I admit it might be biased since I've been listening to Japanese for over a year now. Yeah, I've tried, guys. I have tried to watch, and it's not just the Power Ranger stuff. I've tried to watch anything that is not in, you know, in the U.S. that is in it, that is in Japanese or Chinese, and I just can't do it, guys. I'm not worried about keeping up with the Sentai. That's why we have Spada. That's why, you know, Scotty is also getting into the stuff. They like it. I don't. I focus my energy on the American stuff. The other two reviews are actually pretty short here. We got one by Curry Bowtamer 900, left on September 12th, 5-star review. The best. Started listening to your podcast a few weeks ago and been catching up on all the old episodes. Love the interview with Jason David Frank. Can't wait for more episodes and interviews. Amazing job, guys. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
The latest one actually came in about 3 days ago, September 24th. Great podcast, 5-star review by BLT711. You guys are the best thing to listen to on the way home from school. I love listening to your discussions. My favorite reviews were the Lost Galaxy and Wild Force because those are my personal favorites, Animal Zords. Overall, I love the podcast and may the power protect you. Thank you to everyone who has left us reviews on iTunes. Very, very awesome of all of you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I like hearing, even if it's bad feedback.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Scotty, final thoughts on Mystic Force.
Overall, I guess I totally agree with what you say. I enjoyed the series. I really did. I like the characters. I like the characters most because they weren't Barbie and Ken. You know what I mean? They look like everyday dudes, and I really like that. I could have done without the magic. I mean, some of the magic wasn't bad, but you know, overall it was just magic, and great. Harry Potter's awesome, but I don't want to see it mixed in with my Power Rangers, you know, kind of exactly what you say, you know, I mean, I could do without it.
Yeah.
But besides the capes and the magic, there's not a lot that I disliked about this series. Nick's dad and Toby were the two ugliest characters of all time. So, besides, I mean, even Phineas was better looking than Toby. Yeah. I didn't really like Toby's character too much. I know you haven't seen Jungle Fury, but there's another Toby character in Jungle Fury, and I can't think of his name for the life of me, and I don't really like him either.
Is that the pizza shop owner?
Yep, he's there. He's
yeah.
The master.
Back when Jungle Fury was airing on TV, I tried watching it, and I just, after about three episodes, I was done at that time, so,
I think
you know.
I prefer Toby better than him, because at least Toby's like a genius, and he wants to figure out that puzzle, you know, and you know what, yeah, I mean, I don't like the skater dude, you know, the surfer bro talk the whole time. It's just like, oh my God, just stop.
You got anything you want to promote for PCN? Anything the video series is doing or anything like that?
No, I mean the 40th episode is coming up at the beginning of October. So
awesome.
Yeah, I mean I haven't told anybody what it is. I know what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it. I've waited a long time to get it. I finally got it. Actually, not a long time. Probably about a year to get it, and I finally got it. But I'll definitely be showing that off on the next From the Command Center. We have a new reviewer, actually two new reviewers over at Pop Culture. QuarterCon has been pumping out videos faster than anyone on YouTube. So I guarantee his name is going to blow up, and I'm glad that he's with us while he does it, because it seems like the more videos you pump out, you know, no matter what, everybody's going to he does so many, such a wide toys. He does like Transformers. He does, you know, G.I. Joes. He does all of them. So somebody's going to catch it and be like, oh, hey, look, a G.I. Joe review. Oh, he also does this. And that's how people's names get huge. So I bet he catches fire within a year and he has a ton of viewers.
Awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's a Transformer guy too.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like you, Transformer guy, but at least he's doing some Transformers.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center, the podcast. There's always getting in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over there at Pop Culture Network. It is free. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Thank you once again to all the iTunes reviewers. Follow us on Twitter. My name is TFG and Mike over there. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at Pop Culture Net for Pop Culture Network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network, and you can also go over there and look for popculturenetwork.com. You can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series on PCN's YouTube channel, youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center. We wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Operation Overdrive. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Let the power protect you.